the truth, the life, the victory. As the King of Kings was questioned by Pilate long ago, he declared his kingdom.
Welcome to the Way and the Truth Ministries podcast, dedicated to changing the lives of people with the true gospel of Jesus Christ, with your host, evangelist, and international speaker, Lancelot Watson. What is it that makes Christians so different from others? Today, Evangelist Watson leads us through the Word of God to identify the three elements necessary to love the way Jesus wants us to love.
The goal of God's command to you and me is to love one another. As Jesus stated it in another fashion, when he was asked what is the great commandment, he says, only two commandments you have. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. And number two, to love your neighbor as you do yourself. So how do we come out of the mindset and philosophy of our present world, our present community, our present United States of America, and all of the other first world and third world countries? How do we extract ourselves out of that behavior pattern and thinking and get ourselves into the mind of Jesus Christ and the way of Christ? So Paul says to Timothy, the love that we must have is a love that is undergirded. Yeah, it's a love that rests upon three things. One, a pure heart. Number two, a good conscience. And number three, sincere faith. In other words, if we don't have a pure heart, we cannot love, certainly not in the way that God wants us to love. So love from a pure heart. That's one of the ways Jesus began that great sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Yeah? In Hebrews 10 and verse 22, Christians are exhorted, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith. The word that is translated pure is a word that speaks of singularity. Singularity of purpose, singularity of content. A pure heart is a heart that is singular in its affections. As Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to be partial to one or the other. So, a pure heart is a heart of righteousness. It's a heart that is right with God. There is absolutely no way that you and I or anyone else can have a pure heart if we are not in a right relationship with God. Yes? So being pure and righteous are linked together. To be righteous is very challenging, by the way. To be righteous is to do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, and with the right motive. Yeah? To be righteous. Now, here is a passage that we all know quite well. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes? No. That's the declaration of God. That's the judgment of God. Yeah, that is in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Now, in Romans 2 and verse 8, he goes further. He says, there is none righteous, not even one. When Jesus came on the planet into our world, the judgment of God Almighty is that the world is populated by unrighteous human beings. There's none righteous. He said, wow. So, the mission and work of Christ is to make us righteous. So Christ is our righteousness. Now, someone says, but to be righteous is to do the right thing. Yes, it is. But it is to do all the right things all the time. And that's where you and I fall short. You know, it's like the season of Christmas. Do you like Christmas? I like Christmas. Why do I like Christmas? I get to give gifts. And I get to receive gifts. So don't be hesitant in giving Lancelot a gift. You know, what can I say? We like to receive good things. But if you notice, the world has a sort of cordoned off maybe about what, 2, maybe 3 weeks out of the 52 weeks to say, that's the period of time that you are to do your good works. So more giving is done during the season of Christmas than during any other time during the year. Why is that so? Because we are an unrighteous set of people. So we only know to do good from time to time. But certainly not all the time. And that's what separates the Christian, the child of God, from the rest of the world. Because it is the design of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ, the mission of Jesus Christ, that those of us who call on his name, who have submitted to his will, who he calls, brands a Christian, we must be a people who are righteous, and to be righteous means that we are focused on doing the right thing at the right time with the right motives. Yeah? So, the goal of the command is love from a pure heart. Number two, from a good conscience. You know, that really lifts the bar on high. A good conscience. You know, generally speaking, we don't speak of good conscience. We generally are more inclined to speak of a clear conscience. My conscience is clean. My conscience is clear. Well, sometimes we just have to con ourselves into believing that. Otherwise, we go through days upon days and months upon months of guilt. Yeah? What made your conscience clear? What made it clean? Can you clean your conscience that has been defiled? So let me answer it for you. The answer is no. You following me? If you could, if it was in the realm of us human beings to clean and clear our own consciences, we would get rid of a well-paid profession, the profession of psychiatrists and psychologists. Why? Because that's what they work on. They work on you getting to accept yourself for who you are. But even that doesn't work. You see, only Jesus Christ can give us a clean conscience. So let's look into it. First, the judgment of God. Jeremiah 6 and verse 15. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No. They have no shame at all. They don't even know how to blush. Are you with me? You know, when I was growing up, the young women around me, they knew how to blush. You know, you said something a little out of the way and they blush. Times have changed. You say something, what do they say then? Huh? Say that again. Repeat that for me. What did you say? Oh, yeah. You know, our standards have deteriorated in a terrible way. And God foretold that we're not ashamed of wrongdoing. Don't judge me. Have you ever heard that statement? Don't judge me. Yeah, that has become quite popular, doesn't it? Isn't it? Well, what is that speaking of? Generally speaking, it's addressing some kind of bad behavior that you don't want anyone to say anything about, you know. We can't say that you're guilty. Oh, no. You're judging. Well, God has already made his judgment. Yeah? And the judgment is that we are all guilty. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So, our conscience is seared, meaning that that conscience is no longer troubled by wrongdoing, wrong behavior, wrong thinking. It becomes our norm, so we are comfortable with it. When you know to do good and you don't do it, the conscience was designed so that you would feel guilty. Little children still do. But as they get into their teens and that go further down the line, it becomes further and further from that. Remember what James says about what sin is. Sin is disobeying God. Behavior contrary to the way of God. James 4 and verse 17. To those who knows the good that ought to be done and does not do it, to him it is sin. So when we do something wrong, it ought to trouble our conscience. That's not a smiling moment. That's a grieving moment.
Thank you for listening to The Command to Love, Part 2. Join us tomorrow when Evangelist Watson leads us through the Word of God for the final part of The Command to Love. For additional information on this and other topics, contact The Way and the Truth Ministries by typing thewayandthetruth.com. This podcast is a presentation of The Way and the Truth Ministries, Patchogue, New York.
Gave up his life for him.